the fourth book in the New Testament, John chapter 8, verses 44 to 47. This is what it says. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe him. Believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Well, this morning's message, Pastor Richard titled it, There is No Other God But Christ, the Father of Lies, and the God of Truth. Pastor?
Thank you, Carrie, and good morning. It is indeed a good morning because we can know the truth about Jesus. And that is the question that has been asked since he came. It is a question which many people ask today. It is a question which every Christian must be sure they believe the truth about. What is the truth about Jesus? Who is Jesus? Why did he come? What's he doing in our lives today as God? Because that is the truth about Jesus, that he is God and that he did come for a specific purpose, to save his people. The passage we're looking at today, the Jews were speaking with Jesus publicly. There were some Jews who might have believed in him, and there were other Jews who definitely did not. And the Jews who did not, they wanted to know, who are you, Jesus, to say and do these things? What right do you have to make these claims that you are making about yourself? And some of them personally attacked Jesus. Some of them mocked Jesus. Some of them were rude and angry at Jesus. But there was a small number of them that believed in him. And Jesus said that the truth that they knew, the truth that he is God, would set them free from both sin and death. That is a summary of what we were looking at today. So let us pray and go to John 8. And see this conversation between Jesus and the Jews. Dear Lord, Father, it is so wonderful that Jesus is your Son and that he is equal with you because he is also God. Father, but you are not three gods. You is Father, Jesus as the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but you are one God. So Jesus himself is one with you, the Father. It is a mystery to us how this can be, how you can be three persons in one God, and it was a great mystery to the Jews who met Jesus. For they saw a man, but yet they also saw you, Father, in Jesus. They saw Jesus and they saw God, Father. Jesus both was equal with you and he also served you and humbled himself before you and exalted you. And you exalt Jesus as well, Father. And your Holy Spirit comes into our hearts so that we might exalt you, Father. Exalt Jesus and become more like him, Father. What a wonderful, wonderful truth, Father. And the truth will set us free. The truth that Jesus is God, Father. I pray that today, as we look at your word, we would all believe afresh and believe, maybe for the first time, for some of us, that Jesus is God, Father. Not, and as he is God, he deserves our worship and our love and our trust, Father, and we must bow ourselves down before him as our Lord and God, Father. That is our only hope, to be set free from the penalty and the power of sin, Father, that leads to condemnation in hell, Father, and to set us free from both physical and spiritual death, Father, that once again leads us to condemnation and hell. Trust in Jesus, worshiping Jesus, believing in Jesus, having faith in Jesus as God frees us from sin and death, as he tells us and he tells the Jews in our passage today. I pray that you would open up our hearts so that we could cherish this and see this in your holy word, Father. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. John 8:28-30, our passage begins. So Jesus said to them, the Jews, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Notice, I am he says, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, Jesus says. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Jesus told the Jews that when he had been lifted up, then they would know that the authority he spoke with came from God the Father. Jesus' exaltation, or lifting up, would be in his death on the cross, which was soon to come. Not only did he have the Father's authority, but he spoke the Father's words. As Jesus spoke, the Father himself was with him and had not left him alone, Jesus tells us. Jesus said that he always did the things that are pleasing to the Father. He never sinned. He never broke the Father's law. He was perfect and righteous and holy, and he said this publicly before all of them. They should have known it was true because they knew him as a man. Jesus himself is God. He says, I am he. And because he is God, he always obeyed and pleased the Father in every way throughout every day of his life. And if we will trust in that perfect, pleasing God life that he had, we can receive his righteousness as our own. It will be credited to us or imputed to us. And just as it said he was lifted up, he would be lifted up on the cross, he would die to take away sin. He would take the punishment that we deserve because we have broken his law. We have not always pleased the Father. He would take that punishment of hell that we deserve because we deserve that hell. He would take that upon himself as he was lifted up for everyone who would believe in him and trust in him so that we would not have to take that punishment ourselves. We would be saved from sin and death, as he's going to tell the Jews in just a few seconds as he speaks to them, they can be saved from sin and death. As he said these words that he spoke, there were many who believed what he said. They believed that he was perfect and sinless. They believed that when he was lifted up, he might take their sin and death. They believe that he himself is God. They believed all that. If we will trust or believe in Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father, his record of obedience can be given or credited, as I said, to us so that we too can always please the Father the way Jesus did. Not perfectly in this life, but through the power of his resurrection, being pleasing to God more and more throughout our life. That is the gospel. Jesus is summarizing the gospel in this passage. And he goes on in John 8, 31 through 32, and he talks more about this truth. John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, the ones who believed, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is one of the most famous quoted passages in the Bible. But what is Jesus talking about here? We can see in this passage what he's getting at. You see, Jesus told the Jews who had believed what he said that those who wish to please the Father must abide or remain in his word. The word abide means to stand firmly in something, to not be moved away from what you are abiding in. Jesus taught them if they would stand firmly in his word, never departing from it, then they would truly be his disciples. Only then would they know the truth and be set free from sin, Jesus tells us as we go on. The sin which came through the lies and deception of the father of lies, Satan, he tells us. John 8, 33 through 36, he goes on. They answered him, not the ones who believed, but the Jews, the ones who did not believe, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone," which is pure irony because the Jews had been enslaved to many people and were at this time enslaved to the Romans. They asked, "How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain or abide." Once again, same idea. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, the son being Jesus, he's saying, if I set you free, you will be free indeed. The Jews responded by saying that they had never been enslaved to anyone because they were descendants of Abraham. But the irony is that the Jews had been enslaved to others many times throughout history and were even enslaved right at the moment by the Romans. They also did not understand that Jesus was not speaking of physical slavery, but spiritual slavery. Jesus responded and told them that because they practiced sin, they were the worst sort of slaves, spiritual slaves to sin. Sin is doing anything that is disobedient to God's commandments in the Bible, whether physical actions that break his law or spiritual attitudes in the heart, which do not love God above all else or love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So, by that definition, all of us have sinned and continue to sin throughout our life. So, without the power of Jesus to set us free, all of us are slaves to our sin. But Jesus offers us a chance to be set free from sin and become slaves of righteousness, the Word of God tells us elsewhere, through what Jesus has done in his perfect life, atoning death, and resurrection, as we talked about. By trusting in his righteous life, we are able to have his righteousness as our own, as God sees us as sons, adopted into the family of God, no longer slaves of sin, but sons of God, even sisters in Christ receiving the adoption as sons into God's family, equal heirs with the brothers in Christ. As children of God, we now have the power that raised Jesus from the dead in us through the Holy Spirit and are no longer slaves to sin. The Jews thought that they were already part of the family of God because they were physical descendants of Abraham. But they were sinning by rejecting Jesus as their God and thus remained slaves to sin. John 8:37-38. Jesus said, "I know that you are offspring of Abraham," physical descendants, "yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." Jesus told them that he knew about their physical heritage to Abraham. But because they were rejecting his word, they would seek to kill Jesus. They should have fully believed his word because Jesus came directly from God the Father to speak to them. Yet Jesus confronted them with a terrible reality that they had a different father than he did. Even though they were made in the image of God, as we all are, because of their sin, they served a different father, a father of lies instead of a father of truth. John 8:39-40. The Jews answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." The Jews responded to Jesus and said that Abraham was their father. Jesus said that Abraham could not be their father because if he were, then they would not have rejected and sought to kill a man who told them the truth of God. Abraham's works had been to believe the truth about God and obey that truth from his heart. This is not what the Jews were doing. By not truly believing in Jesus, they were rejecting Abraham's God, who is Jesus himself. There is no other God but Christ. John 8:41-42. Jesus said, "You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." They were mocking Jesus. They were making personal attack against him. I'll explain in a second. Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me," Jesus said, "for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me." Jesus said that the Jews were doing the works of their father, the father of lies. They responded that they had not been born of sexual immorality. It is clear they were trying to mock Jesus because there was controversy surrounding Jesus' birth. We're going to celebrate Jesus' birth in just a few weeks on Christmas, and here they are trying to mock his birth. Because Jesus' mother had not been married at the time of conception by the Holy Spirit, it was likely that some believed Jesus was a product of sexual immorality, which obviously he was not, as he was sinless and pure, God in human form. As he said, he always did what pleased the Father. And Joseph and Mary, his parents, were both righteous, God-fearing servants. So the Jews here, Jesus is saying that Satan was their father and Satan hated Jesus. He would do anything to discredit Jesus or any other representative of the truth of God in his word. But the Jews denied that Satan was their father and said that God was their father. They said that God was not Jesus' father. God would always be their God, whether they submitted to him or not. He is God. But if God had been their spiritual father, they would have loved Jesus because he came from God the Father and was with them even then among them. God the Father had sent Jesus, his son, to the Jews. And he sends him also to us. John 8, 43 and 44. Why do you not understand what I say? Jesus says. It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You, all of you, are of your father the devil, and in your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Jesus' response to their accusation against him, he was born of sexual immorality. Yes, Jesus was a humble man, but he responds with an accusation, a truthful accusation, right back at them. They are of their father, the devil. Jesus told them that the reason they could not truly understand what he was saying was because they could not even bear to hear it. Their allegiance was not to the truth of Jesus' word, but instead to the lies and deceptions of Satan. God had created all of them because God is the one who creates all people. And all people are made in the image of God. But because of their hatred of the truth, they spiritually belong to Satan. Anyone who does not stand in the truth of Jesus Christ belongs spiritually to the father of lies, Satan, because they believe ultimately only in lies. The Jews were of their father, the devil, and their will was to do what Satan wanted, which was to murder and lie. None of them, including Satan, could physically or spiritually touch Jesus without God the Father allowing it. We learned this back in Job 1 and 2 a few weeks ago. But when Satan lied about Jesus and his word, he was speaking out of his own character. The primary weapon of Satan in spiritual warfare is to lie and deceive. Satan seeks to lie to and deceive all people so that they might disobey God's word and believe in lies rather than the truth. The Jews could not bear to hear Jesus' word because their hearts belong to the lies and deception of Satan. There is no truth at all in Satan and those who believe his lies. John 8, 45 through 47. Jesus goes on. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? None of them could. He never sinned. If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Jesus said that the Jews who had Satan as their spiritual father did not believe him because he was telling them the truth. When we disobey Jesus and reject his word, it is because he is telling us the truth and we do not desire to believe it. No one could convict Jesus of sin because he was telling them the truth. When Jesus boldly but lovingly spoke the truth, they should have believed him. When others in our life boldly and lovingly speak the truth of God's word to us, we should not accuse them of sin. Those who speak the word of God, if the words truly are from God, are of God. But those who reject the word of God and will not hear it are not of God. All true Christians love and cherish Christ's word and seek to obey it. Anyone who rejects Jesus and his word is not a Christian. That is what it means to have either God as our father or Satan as our father, whether or not we accept and believe Jesus and his word. John 8, 48 through 51. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory," Jesus said. "There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews responded with another accusation. If Jesus was a Samaritan, and a Samaritan is a person who is not a pure-blooded Jew that had other ethnic heritage besides of the Jews, if Jesus was a Samaritan and he was not a pure-blooded Jew, of course he could still be a believer in God. But if he was a Samaritan, he could not be who he said he was. You see, Jesus was the son of David, descended from both his father Joseph and his mother Mary in a direct line from King David. This made him the true heir to the Jewish throne, the King of the Jews. This made him the Jewish Messiah. If Jesus was not a pure-blooded Jew, then he could not be the king that he claimed to be. He could not be the Messiah that he himself was. So if he had been a Samaritan, he could have been considered a Jew, a good man. But if they were right and he was a Samaritan, then he could not have been who he said he was. Jesus had questioned their spiritual ancestry, calling them not the children of Abraham or even the children of God, but children of Satan and his lies. So here they accused Jesus of not being the Son of God because they were saying he wasn't even truly Jewish. And on top of that, he himself must be demonic and not of God. Jesus responds that he does not have any connection to anything demonic, but instead honors his true father, God. And that they were dishonoring him and his father by making such an accusation. But Jesus did not seek glory for himself. God the Father sought the glory of his son Jesus and would be the one to judge the Jews. He says, God will be the judge. Jesus then affirmed that if anyone heard and then kept his word, they would never see death. They would be the ones who would receive eternal life. That they didn't like that either. John 8, 52 and 53. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did all the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? The Jews mocked Jesus again and said his words were demonic and deceptive. All of those who had come representing God before Jesus had died. Abraham and all the prophets. Yet Jesus claimed that anyone who kept his word would never die. Then they finally asked the right question. They finally got it right. Was Jesus greater than Abraham who had died? Was Jesus greater than all the prophets who had died? Who did Jesus make himself out to be? John 8, 54 and 55. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself or give myself glory, Jesus is saying, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Jesus is fierce. He was a fierce man, courageous. Even as he is God himself, he was courageous like the man of faith in his father that he was, to answer this way. Jesus answered them that he had not come to glorify himself or to give himself glory, for that would be nothing by itself. But God the Father is the one who glorifies Jesus and gives him glory. And God the Father is the one that the Jews say is their God. But the Jews did not know their own God because they did not know Jesus, who is their God. Jesus knows God because Jesus is God. If Jesus said he did not know God, then it would make him no different from them and no different from Satan, because he would be a liar like them. But Jesus does know the Father and keeps the Father's word. And here it comes, the indisputable claim that he makes in verses 56 through 58, John 8, 56 through 58. Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw my day and was glad. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus told them that Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish religion, the first Jew who had trusted in the God of Israel, who had lived over 2,000 years before Jesus, had looked forward to the time when Jesus would come and rejoiced that the day was coming when Jesus, the Messiah, would live to ultimately fulfill the promise that was made to him, Abraham. That in and of itself is an amazing claim. But Jesus did not stop there. Abraham knew that eternal life awaited him after his death because of the faith he had in his God. But even though Abraham did not know the name of Jesus Christ, he knew after he died the name of his Messiah and his God. He now knows in heaven, Abraham, that there is no other God but Jesus Christ. Abraham now knows that Jesus Christ had always existed even before Abraham existed. The Jews were shocked at the claim that Jesus was making. Jesus stood before them as a man who is clearly not even 50 years old, but yet he was claiming that he had existed before Abraham and that he had seen Abraham with his own eyes. The claim was that Jesus made that he himself personally knew Abraham, who had existed thousands of years before Jesus lived on earth. There was only one way that Jesus could have known Abraham personally before Abraham was already dead. Jesus affirmed that claim by clearly saying that he had indeed existed before Abraham, because Jesus had always existed for all eternity as God. How did they know he was claiming that? Jesus uttered the words, "I am," to the Jews, and they would immediately have known what he was claiming. "I am" is the Jewish covenant name of God himself, coming from Exodus 3, 13 through 15. The Jews would have known without a doubt in their minds that Jesus was claiming to be God himself in human form. Jesus had existed before Abraham because he was Abraham's God. Abraham would have rejoiced to see the day of Jesus because he rejoiced to see the day when the promises made to him by God the Father were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. There is no other God but Christ. So let us look at Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Then Moses, speaking with God himself, as God descended from heaven and spoke directly to Moses, Moses said, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses was afraid that they would not believe Moses, that he had spoken to God and that he was God's representative. God said to Moses, I am who I am. That was the name that God gave to Moses. And God said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is how the Jews would know that Moses had spoken to God. God also said this to Moses. Say this to the people of Israel. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This, meaning everything that God had just said, this is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. They would have remembered this conversation between Moses and God. And when Moses came to them, he said, I am sent me to you. So, when Jesus said those words, before Abraham was, I am, it would have been entirely shocking to them. Blasphemy, they would have said. Blasphemy. Jesus said that he is I am. God told Moses to say, I am has sent me to you. God's covenant name with his people Israel was I am. Several thousand years later, when Jesus spoke to the Jews about who he was, there would have been no doubt that Jesus was telling them that he is God himself. I am is the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and he was the one who sent Moses to them. This is his name forever, and he would be remembered throughout every generation, including the generation who received Jesus, who was their Messiah, the Christ, their King, and their God in human form. So what did the Jews do? They recognized what Jesus was saying. John 8:59. So they picked up stones to throw at him, to stone him to death for blasphemy, claiming that he, a man, is God. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple at this point. The Jews immediately picked up stones so that they could execute Jesus by stoning him, because blasphemy was punishable by death, and they understood that Jesus was claiming to be God himself in human form. Little did they know that Jesus really was God himself in human form. Jesus' claims to be God are true. They should have known who Jesus was, because everything about him pointed to his deity, his perfect, innocent, sinless life, his miraculous command over his own creation, his power over all spiritual beings, His ability to know and perceive the thoughts of others. His ability to heal diseases at will. His power to raise the dead. The wisdom and eloquence with which he spoke was greater than any other man or prophet who had ever lived. His authority to understand and teach his own scriptures. His ability to predict and know the future before it happened. The fulfillment in his life of all the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. The fact that he was the heir to the Davidic kingly line and the true king of the Jews. And many other things should have shown him that he was God, including his resurrection from the dead, which was yet to come. Jesus was able to hide himself and leave the temple because it was not the time that the Father had set for him to die. But Jesus would soon be tried for blasphemy and executed on the cross, even though he was innocent of blasphemy because his claim to be God is true. Jesus would take the punishment that he did not deserve for the sins of those who did deserve it. 2 points of application. Application one. Satan is the father of lies, and when he lies, he speaks out of his own character. The Jews believed his lies, and because they did so, they rejected Jesus and his word. They would not believe the testimony of Jesus that he is their God. So they did the works of their father Satan and believed in his lies. So let us embrace the word of Christ, the word of God, and believe it as we read it, hear it, and study it. Second application. The truth that Jesus is Abraham's God and also our God will set us free from sin and death. Those who believe and keep the word of Jesus, who is himself God's word, will never taste death. Jesus came to be the truth in human form, so that if we trust in him and what he did, we will receive eternal life. So reject Satan's lies and believe the truth. Let us pray. Father, Jesus is just audacious. He is an audacious man, a courageous man. He stood before the crowds and told them to believe in him. And many of them did not believe, and they sought to stone him because they knew he was claiming to be God. And Jesus went to the cross in the end for the charge of blasphemy, because he claimed to be God, Father, and he rose from the dead because he is God, and he will return as God to judge the living and the dead. I pray that all of us would believe Jesus, believe his word, believe his truth. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.